Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. The 48th annual Daytime Emmy Awards are in the books, and we've got our reactions. Stay tuned. Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Buenos dias.
Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
Hello, hello, hello.
Well, the 48th Annual Daytime Emmy Awards are in the books. The winners, the losers, the hybrid awards. We're going to discuss it all. So let's kick things off. Guest performer. When we made the predictions podcast, two people predicted it correctly. One person, myself, predicted it incorrectly. Katie McLean won for her role on Days of Our Lives. What did you guys think, Jillian?
That was the best. Yeah, she did the damn thing. I was happy for it. And she had such a nice speech. She was, yeah, she's cool people. So I was fine with it.
Josh, how about you?
It's one of the best moments of the night for me, actually. I thought, first of all, she looked amazing. She came out. It was one of the only speeches that resonated with me, because I felt like the whole thing was kind of sterile, but I liked her speech. And then John Lindstrom tweeted that his whole house exploded when Katie won, and he was so thrilled, and it was just warm and wonderful, and she deserved that win, so I'm glad she got it.
Yeah,
she is an icon. She definitely put in the work on Days of Our Lives. I'm very happy for her. One of the things that was weird for me this year is I had not realized how accustomed I had gotten to the live stream format, because for so many recent years, we've had it where it's being streamed live to everyone at the same time. So even though it was on CBS this year and on Paramount Plus, the app, I discovered, short notice, that would not apply for me, who is currently aligned with Pacific Standard Time. I would have to wait 2 hours before I could watch it. So for me, from a purely viewer standpoint, who is used to being on this, watching it live, being able to see the live reactions on Twitter and be a part of it, it was a little bit disappointing for me that, sure, I couldn't be a part of the moment, as it were, and the reactions, because who wants to log on? Now, granted, with DC, I already know who wins, but who wants to log on to Twitter and see the reactions in real time, but not be able to see the actual show for another 2 hours? I was like, I hope that if this happens next year, they, on the Paramount Plus option of it, allows you to stream it in real time the same way that the Emmys have been able to be streamed in real time for across the whole country, recent years. So for me, that was my biggest technical gripe. Yeah. But when I finally was able to watch it, it did feel a bit sterile. I get why they did what they did. It makes total sense in a hybrid environment. That being said, we've had other award shows so far that have taken place under COVID restrictions or precautions, and they have not felt as sterile. So in terms of the show itself, it was, for me, it was not the greatest year, but I enjoyed seeing who won. What did you guys think of the format, Josh?
I wish that they had explained what they were doing. Like when Cheryl Underwood walked out and that audience full of people who, I don't know who they were.
They don't know who they were.
Or shit. Where they were.
They were seat fillers who didn't actually clap, yeah, when the canned clapping was going on.
Right. If they had, but if Cheryl Underwood or someone had explained, here's what we're doing because of COVID. Here's what's happening with the audience. This is a hybrid ceremony. Let us explain to you what this is. Then I could have gotten into it. But I spent most of the time going, I don't get it. The applause is canned and it's off with what's happening in the audience. And why are the people not in the audience? And why are they backstage? I mean, I get that there's a hybrid thing going on here, but tell us, let us in on it, so we don't have to figure it out. Because I'm an editor in my head. And so I started editing the broadcast.
Are you an editor in your head?
In my head. I didn't say in real life. I said in my head.
What in your head, ho? What's going on in that mind?
I just couldn't pay. I had a hard time focusing on the business at hand, because I kept seeing things and hearing things that didn't fit for me. Yeah, I just felt cold.
I got a text from Danielle, who was on the 1,000th episode, and she goes, why does this look like everyone is in a seminar who paid $500 to change their life, listen to a coked up speaker, and walk away with a workbook they put under their coffee table to make it stop wobbling? And I was like, I'm not able to watch it yet. She goes, you'll see. So have some cocktails handy because you'll need it. Jillian, what did you think of the ceremony overall?
I mean, it was what it was. That's all I can say. It was what it was.
Yeah.
I mean,
we will
say, you know, it was what it was. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't good. It wasn't like hell on wheels, but it wasn't, you know, like, oh my God, it was flawless. I mean, you know, they did people from Natus and ATI, who produced the telecast. They explained how this telecast was going to go down, actually, in a write-up in Variety that I posted on DC. And, you know, they said because of COVID, it also sounds like they were a little cheap. You know, they're using COVID as an excuse, but I'm going to keep it real.
In the write-up.
Nah, see, you already circled that airport, boy. You already parked and landed. We taxied. Everybody off the plane now. In the write-up, they say COVID. So I'm like, okay, I get it. But then they're like, and then you have people who live on different coasts and they don't want to fly in. I'm like, AKA, y'all didn't want to shell out the money to have people fly in. I'm like, I see what you did there. They were, you know, so that's what you got. And having it at their facility, I feel as though that was a way to save on overhead, so they didn't have to go to places, and, you know, they could have their own restrictions and rules and regulations, and also do a little, you know, a plug for their facility too, by showing this is the stages that we have. If you film here, you too could have this at the Alhambra or whatever that was, child. I'm like, it was what it was, child. I'm like, the audience, I really felt like somebody, I thought you meant this, Josh.
Yeah.
I was thinking you meant with the audience, someone should have told them. Like, usually somebody tells them, hey, when someone wins, you clap.
There's clap. More clapping on the people on TV screens that the view cuts to at the end of every segment than there was clapping in the audience who was just sitting there. If you're going to make it hybrid, you could at least provide the illusion of the people being interested in the awards who are sitting there.
They have a warm-up person.
Yes.
That the view, they have a warm-up
person. So does the talk.
Who goes over the view and the talk, because I've been to taping for them, and shout out to Angelica when I went to the view. I mean, ooh, not the view, child, the talk. She hooked me up, and her warm-up person like zeroed in on me, and I'm just like, I'll never forget that, Angelica. But anyways, the warm-up person warms up the crowd. They tell you, hey, when this light comes on, or when this happens, this, that, third, you laugh, you cheer, you scream, you ha, you know, they tell you what to do. I guess they must have said, whatever, we have like a canned applause, so it don't matter. But still, even when you have that, I was like,
well, I guess it also sort of depends, because I'm assuming how this all worked is they had all the stars tape their speeches, and then everybody found out at the same time when it aired who actually won, which, you for the logistics, you understand why they do that. So maybe they're like, you poor people will have to be fake clapping for five speeches for every single category. We're not going to put you through that. But still, it would have been nice if they could have filmed it in such a way where they could have just done a shot of the audience clapping, because they would sometimes pull back and you wouldn't see the full stage. You just see like the five rows of chairs. It would have been nice if they would have got a couple shots of them clapping and then just reused them over and over.
Okay, yeah, that would have been fine. I guess I also don't understand about the logistics thing, and I hear what you're saying, but
read
like,
the Variety write-up. Just read but the Variety write-up.
Oh, no, I get it. I'm suggesting something else. Like, I didn't really get why, if there were people there and people at home, why you couldn't have filmed it with a live Zoom shot, live reaction.
Oh, girl, no, I don't know Zoom. Like,
No, but I'm just saying, no, I'm saying like you would if you saw the five nominees in person, you would see their faces in the crowd, right? Ooh, why no, couldn't I don't you
wanna,
do that for reaction?
No, I don't want to see
well,
those
because,
I stand
because
by that because the, I don't listen, not for nothing. Some of them heifers probably would have been beat and made, and some of them
well,
would
and
not
right.
Have,
and the other thing about that is it'd be very weird to have. Because of the fact that we have seen the red carpet photos and that we know that everybody was actually there ahead of time for the pre-taping, it would have been weird for me to see, say, let's go to the younger performer category, which is what we're going to talk about next, Victoria Konofal yeah. won. It would have sort of been weird to then have seen the other, know the other actors were there and then shoot to them being at home, possibly not dressed in the same stuff that they went to the red carpet on. That to me, that would feel weird.
I guess it was all very odd to me. But
we're going in the weeds, Chad.
What did, I know so, we're in the weeds. So younger performer category of Days of Our Lives, Victoria Konofal won. This is the one that I actually got right. What did you guys think?
What did I say? I don't
you guys,
remember.
you both chose Cindy Michaela.
Oh yeah, black on. Yeah, sorry, sis. That's now we know what the fuck they submitted. That suffrage. Yeah. I was not a fan of the suffrage. I was not. They tried to gloss over, make it look like the white women wanted us to vote. And Susan B. Anthony did not, bitch. So don't play me, play Lotto. I remember that in history. Fuck that. No. Fuck that. Fuck out of here. So, was not a fan of the suffrage. Y'all trying to gloss it? No, I was not a fan of that episode. I was like, oh damn, sis, this what you submitted? No.
They all submitted.
Yes, I did not like that, and I see why y'all didn't win. Because I guess somebody said we know history too. Damn it. No. Victoria Konofal. I was glad that she won. Yo, that's a Brooklyn girl.
Yes, it was.
She's a Brooklyn girl. I think she's from Bay Ridge. We'll still keep you. But I was happy that she won. You know, her speech was really nice and sweet. And baby girl tore up that red carpet, honey.
Oh, she looked good.
Ooh, the gowns. Beautiful gowns, Aretha Franklin would have said. Woo, she did the
What I love about her and Robert Scott Wilson is that they both are willing to play up the Ben and Sierra thing for the cameras. And whereas a lot of people, and this is in no way shape a criticism, it's just that I appreciate what these two actors are doing. But if you look at Brittany Sarpy and Brighton James, who are on screen together, they're just standing there like two people who are going to an award show. Whereas, but they have had those scenes in the past. And so it's always fun when you have actors who are willing to give a nod to the fans of their pairings. And so I appreciated what they did on the red carpet.
Okay. For Brighton, I'm going to defend them. Brighton and Brittany, they together in real life. Yay. On the show, they're not. So, I mean, it would have made sense if they had Brighton and Michelle together, Michelle Morgan, and played that up. I get why they're playing up the Ben and Sierra thing, because homegirl coming home for her man. So we get that we're playing, you know, to play that up. They're playing it up for the fans. Fine. I actually enjoyed him and Jack A together, you know.
Oh, that was adorable.
Yes, she will always give you a little kiki, child. So it's fine with that. But no, I was fine with Victoria winning. What you thought, Joshua? What you think?
So I think Victoria, to me, was the only one that was acceptable other than Sydney Michaela. So I was glad she won. And I'm now thinking back, for this particular award, Sydney Michaela submitted the Taggart about to be dead in the hospital stuff.
Oh. She submitted that. Sure.
Yeah, that was the clip they showed, was where she comes around and says, what did you say? You thought you told me he was going to be okay, and that kind of stuff in the hospital.
Oh, well, see, I also had a little buzz going on watching that.
But you took Danielle's advice without knowing it is basically what happened.
I don't know her. But I remember there was a scene with her talk, like, they showed a scene of Sydney and Brooke Kerr, who plays her mama on there. They were in the suffrage they were doing that was that bit. So I thought that was her.
Yeah, and they did show that several times. But I just as we were talking about, remembered that they showed her and they said Sydney Michaela as Trina Robinson, and they show her coming around, and it, confronting one of the doctors. And I can't remember who it was.
Shit, I should have wrote this shit down. Well, I didn't. But I thought it was the suffrage crap. But I'm sorry. Cry, Chris and Dan. Dan and Chris. I mean, I like it. So yeah.
But the aftermath of the explosion and all of that at the wedding is what I think Konofal submitted. It was to me, that's a horse race between the two of them. They were far and away better to me than the other.
So my strategy for the main categories, supporting and lead actor and actress, was that the General Hospital people would split the votes and it would go to someone else. That worked for me in 3 categories, except for my picks weren't the person who it went to. So supporting actor, the winner was Max Gale. I picked Brighton James. Jillian picked Kober, and Josh picked Brooks. But it went to Max Gale. What did you guys think of him winning again?
I don't mind. He's not a bad actor. He's not a bad actor to me. I just thought that they were just killing a dead horse with Sonny and his father, and Sonny all of a sudden, dad, man, bitch, I remember when you came on that show, you refused to call Mike dad or whatever. It was always Mike. But as soon as he got the time as my dad, I'm like, get the hell out of here. Like, whatever. But that was fine. Max Gale, he's a good actor. I just, no shade, no tea, I don't want to see any more of that again. Like, I felt like the shows pretty much exploited that so much. GH did and YNR did with Dina, but they both dead, so, silver lining.
Josh, before we go on to who won supporting actress, what'd you think of supporting actor?
I feel like Jillian, I don't have a problem with Max Gale. So he and Mo already won for this storyline 2 years ago, in 2019. That first of all tells us how long this damn storyline stretched out.
Yeah.
And the end of it, I'm not saying it wasn't compelling, but watching Mike go on to glory with Courtney was not. I just. I don't have a problem with Max Gale, but I just think anybody else in that list.
And why they gotta go to the upper room? Why they can't go to the cellar? You see,
well,
how
that's
they do?
True. That's
I'm
true.
Like,
well,
Mike was a shitty father. He should have been going to the cellar.
Call me when you want. Call me when you need.
Outstanding supporting actress. The winner was Marla Adams from The Young and the Restless. Josh and I both picked Tamar Braun, and Jillian picked Brianna Henry. So this was the surprise. I did not expect Marla Adams to win it. I would have thought that a couple other people would have.
They submitted. Right. We didn't know.
Right, but I'm just saying based on the past year.
Think we would have picked her when we saw what she submitted? Ooh,
honestly,
child.
I think I probably would have, because look at what all Mo and Max submitted. Like, the timers, they all went with something that was. Yeah, that was timely and so on and so forth. So I probably would have said, you know, no, I'm not. I'm bullshit. No, I don't know. I'm sorry. She eats a set and it's not good scenery chewing.
Inhaled it, unhinged her jaw.
She just tear up them sets. Steve Kent said, not no more, girl, because, like, them budgets, like, whoa. Supporting actress. Yeah, I didn't expect her. Did not expect her at all.
She was definitely my surprise of the evening when that came across on the site, and I was like, oh, damn, this could be an interesting evening with some big upsets. For me, this was the biggest upset.
You and me, because I, like, look, I put my little champagne down, and when they said Marla Adams, I said, Marla Adams? At first, I started to, let me tell you how stupid I am, okay? I started to clap, because I was like, oh my God, Marla Gibbs. I'm like, bitch, it's Marla Adams. I'm like, girl, put the glass down. I'm like, I can't do this while I'm like, this, don't drink and work, kids. That's a no-no. Don't do that at the job. Mm-mm. Don't do that. Because I'm like, girl, what the fuck? I'm like, and then I said, Marla Adams?
Yeah, I don't begrudge Marla Adams an Emmy. I mean, she's been around, and she stayed with the storyline, and I don't have a problem with it. But when I see when I see the clips, Tamara Braun's stuff was compelling, and I'm surprised. I was so focused on her in my head that she was going to win this. And Courtney Hope's stuff was good. I'm not mad at Marla Adams, but I think it's fine that she gets an Emmy, but I just maybe would not have been my first choice.
The lead actress category, I picked Melissa Claire Egan from The Young and the Restless. I did not expect the General Hospital people to win. They didn't. Jacqueline McInnes would won from The Bold and the Beautiful. Both Jillian and Josh had picked her. Josh, what'd you think?
I wasn't surprised, and because the soap clips were 4 milliseconds long to make room.
You couldn't find out if they cut off at the knife.
They didn't show that knife. Did not. Jack said, "I'm not gonna do that dumb shit."
I was gonna say, we didn't see that knife get pulled out, but that was always the content. If you cut it before the knife, she's good. When I did see the clips, Jeannie, Francis, how? I love Jacqueline McGinnis Woods. I think she did a good job. She has, man, she's come a long way. But honestly, Fenella Hughes and Jeannie Francis and Nancy Legrand, you're like looking at those clips going, see, I know what these storylines were, and I know that big opioid story on The Bold and the Beautiful was only 2 weeks long. I guess when I look at the clips, I just think, oh my God, Jeannie Francis. It's hard for me that she didn't win that.
What clip she submit now?
She submitted the stuff where she's going after, I think she has found out that she's got the new brothers, and she's going after Cyrus.
She didn't submit. I wonder if it's in the time frame. Damn, she should have submitted. The thing about Cyrus when Lulu got blown up. Ooh.
I can't remember the timing, but she is having it's a compelling sort of, she's firing on all cylinders at Cyrus.
Okay. So what did Fenella submit?
It was something where she was both Alex and Anna, and I can't remember exactly.
And that's what I figured she was going to submit.
And then what did Nancy submit? I think it was her. Was it her intervention? No. Hennessy submitted her intervention. Yeah.
Yeah, Nancy submitted something drunk, but yeah.
Oh my God. Not Fenella. Jackie, I knew she was going to win because I'm just going to be real. Jeannie did her thing with those brothers. I still maintain she should have submitted when Lulu got blown up and had to go to the facility. I don't know if that was in the time frame. I'm not too sure. Probably, yeah, it was, you know, but she should have submitted that. Jackie did her damn thing with that opioid story when she fucking cussed out Brooke. You don't care about me. You don't care about my family. And it's always been the Forresters versus the Logans. I was like, you just want my baby. I was like, I felt that. And it's timely, especially what's going on right now with the Rona. People have been turning to stuff, even though they didn't write that with Rona. But, you know, this was very timely. And Jackie did her damn thing. She acted her ass off in those scenes. So I was totally fine with that. Like, I could see her trumping Jeannie. Jeannie just picked wrong reels. She picked the wrong reels. The more meat and potatoes would have been her tearing Cyrus's ass up for what he did with Lulu.
Let's talk leading actor. None of us picked Maurice Bernard to win. He is actually who won. I picked Torsten K. Josh picked Wally Kurth, and Jillian picked Dominic Zampronia. Maurice Bernard won. Thoughts? Jillian?
I'm cool with it. I like Mo, you know. I like Mo. I'm cool with it.
I was less cool with it.
Oh, why? You're such a little bitch.
I know it. But then you saw the clips, and Wally Kurth submitting that stuff around the re-explanation of Adrian's death the year after when they're reliving the Mother's Day. It's compelling. It just is. And again, I kind of feel about Mo here the way I feel about Max Gale, is that they both won for the same storyline 2 years ago.
I mean, yeah, but I'm...
I know. This is
technically
my own,
it's different stages. Okay. One of them was the illness pre-death, and one of them was
gone to glory.
Right.
No, and I'm fine. This is just my own personal thing.
Yeah,
it's just again, historically, Wally Kurth is nominated quite a bit and doesn't always get the love that he deserves, I think. But I thought this was really deserving stuff. I'm still not sure what Steve Burton submitted, and I'm still not sure what.
He submitted some shit about. I knew he wasn't going to win because when I saw his reel, I was like, what was this? Like, it was something to do with the territory and Cyrus. Oh, and he was like going in on Carly about that. And I was like, it wasn't given what it was supposed to give, sis. Yeah. Like, sorry. Like, I knew he wasn't going to win with that. I was like, no. Like,
I will say this, though. Dominique Zampragna, like, I don't know how he didn't win. Like when you saw the little teeny clip, and how Lisa LoCicero was not nominated, quite frankly, because you see that little clip and you're like, oh my God, I forgot he was only on for 15 minutes. That was a very compelling 15 minutes. It was really, really good.
Yeah.
When it came to the show categories, General Hospital won Outstanding Directing, The Young and the Restless won Outstanding Writing Team.
Sean said, I love my job. When he said that, like, Mr. Roboto, I was like,
They picked the one episode they had last year, which was the dream of Sharon the night before she goes in for cancer surgery. It was a brilliant episode. Not at all reflective of the rest of the year, but it was a brilliant episode.
Which then leads me to the dichotomy of The Young and the Restless wins Outstanding Writing, but General Hospital deservedly won Outstanding Drama. So taking all three of these into account, Jillian, what'd you think?
And then also, I thought that was kind of funny that Sharon Case wasn't nominated, considering she, you know, that's what y'all submitted. That's why I'm like, we really should have known what they submitted and the pre-noms and stuff, but Natas thought they was being slick and shit. Look what happened. Josh, I just cracked up when Josh did his speech. Like, you know, when he starts talking, I'm like, okay, blah, 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 blah. And then when he goes, I love my job, I was like, bro, where the fuck is this coming from? Like, did somebody tell you that if you don't win, you're going to pack your shit and get out? Like, it was just like, it felt like somebody told him, you on the way out, bruh, so you better make it count. Or knowing Josh, I know they're shitting on my writing, so let me just give a chance for them to leave me alone. No, we're still going to come after your writing. I just thought that was hilarious. It just, knowing what they submitted, and it's just like, wow, Sharon Case didn't get nominated for this, and she did, like, she did the heavy lifting, and it was all about her? Okay. Listen, it is what it is. I mean, I told y'all, I did not like the suffrage foolishness. I don't.
Josh, what did you think of those three categories?
Okay, so with Young and the Restless submitting that one episode for writing, I understand why they won. I still don't understand the shade of Days not being nominated after winning a Writers Guild Award. But
I've been told you that last year. So they need to redo. Like, they really need to I'm sorry, Addis needs to get involved because Natas is just doing not good with this thing. It's just stupid. But go ahead.
Well, and not only that, but there was a mistake in the In Memoriam, which...
No, we'll get to that later! We'll get to that later! No. We'll get to that later. Let Josh say what he got to say.
So I get of those three why Young and the Restless won for writing if they submitted that episode. General Hospital, for directing, I actually thought Days would win because of the explosion. I mean, they're working with a nickel and a comb over there, and they made a good explosion and a good fire, and I thought maybe they would actually win for that. The thing about GH winning Best Show, though, is, and I have no problem with it because of the year, either GH or Days I would have been fine with, but GH submitted that suffrage movement episode, which isn't at all reflective of the show, which I understand is part, they can do that. I totally get that. It's just weird to me that, like, General Hospital won for a show by submitting a show that's not representative of the content they have on year round, and then Young and the Restless won for writing for a show which is not representative of the content they have on year round. They can totally do that. It's just interesting to me.
Okay, that was weird. I mean, like, But they all picked shows that they had a special episode for. That's the common denominator with the two. So I'm just kind of confused when you're like, it's not representing what's happening year round. Like, the suffrage shit ain't happening year round.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. My point is that they won like these sweeping awards for episodes that aren't representative.
That's because the Academy likes to see that the shows are attempting to be creative and think outside of the box, and that's what they're acknowledging them for.
Interesting. It was an interesting thing.
I am. Thank God the suffrage thing is not all year round, because I'd jump out of the show. I'm sorry, y'all know I like the GH boys, Dan and Chris, Kristen Demp. That just was not my favorite. No. And then to see, you know, have when they have who was Carly playing? Susan B. Anthony? Was she playing Susan B. Anthony? What was her role in the suffrage thing, or were they just playing new characters? For them to have that heifer not
played Susan B. Anthony, I think you're right.
For them to have that heifer, we want everybody in the movie. I'm like, bitch, you're lying. The history book says otherwise. Like, I just was not a fan of that. Y'all glossing over shit in the history books. Well, it's kind of ironic considering what's going on right now. But I'm like, get out of here. Like, I was not a fan of that.
You can't tell a story of women's suffrage without intersecting race.
Like, I was under the impression that basically the women's suffrage movement sort of threw black people under the bus in order to get voting rights.
Yes, that's why I keep that's why I keep saying what I'm saying about Susan B. Anthony. She was like, I feel bad for y'all, but my rights are more than yours. No, that's why I keep saying what I'm not saying this to be facetious. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying about that, because that's in the history books.
Right.
And it's kind of ironic that they want to do this whitewash of history, considering they want to keep some of the shit out of the history books in Congress and so forth. But that's a whole nother dichotomy. But I just was not here for that. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Don't do that again, boys. I did not like it. I did not like it at all.
The other thing that happened was that Natas had to put out a statement apologizing, because in the In Memoriam, they mixed up the actress who played Mamie on The Young and the Restless. The actress who portrayed it was Marguerite Ray, and they used a photograph of Veronica Redd, who had taken over the role after Ray left. Jillian, had you drunk so much? Were you already so buzzed that you missed this?
I saw that. I said, no, wait a minute. I said, eh. So I tweeted something out. I said, I see Veronica Redd dead now. I said, what the fuck? So, you know, and Xander was just like, shit. Like, he went off and he showed the picture. I was like, oh my God, Natas. So let me tell you how Jamie tried to check me and I had to check him back. So I got a text from Jamie Gittins. Veronica Redd is not dead. I said, I know she's not dead. I said, Natas had her picture instead of the other chick. And he goes, he has like the, you know, the little emoji, the monkey, like see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil.
Uh-huh.
Speak no evil monkey up with her hand over his mouth. And he's just like, Lord. I said, yep. They got Veronica Redd dead. I said, child. That's they all, I guess we all look alike to them. They was like, I'm like, you had one job, Natas. God, you had one fucking job. Gosh. And I'm like, it's on the network that you are airing. I'm like,
you didn't even go to The Young and the Restless I guess technically we don't know who provided the picture, whether Natas did it or The Young and the Restless provided it to him.
Also couldn't spell Brittany Sarpy's name right.
How do you spell her name?
They spelled it with an I instead of a Y at the end. The Sarpy was an I instead of a Y.
Chili,
she's on your show. She right there.
On the network. She's on the show on the network that this is being
telecast. And she's a presenter.
And a presenter. Like, it's like the disrespect was just going free falling. I'm like, God. Like,
her name came up on screen when she and Brighton were on. And I was like, Michael and I both went, that's not how you spell her name. Okay.
She's such a team player, because I know me. I'd have been like, hey, y'all, I'm Brittany Sarpy with a Y, but I guess y'all want to make me French and spell it with a Y, with an I. I would have clowned the shit out of them. Like, but they just have one job. Like, I don't even know if CBS provided the picture. I hope CBS did not, because I got to look at your PR department and be like, who did that? What
according to the statement, we deeply regret this error and intend to re-edit the segment for subsequent digital releases once a replacement image can be appropriately licensed. We sincerely apologize to the Ray family as to Veronica Red, whose image was inadvertently used instead. Each of these daytime icons deserve better from our academy.
I crawl bullshit on that right there, because an appropriate image, you mean to tell me you couldn't go to the Young and the Restless that is on CBS? You couldn't go to them and say, can we use the still of Mamie in the opening shot for the memoriam? Get the fuck out of here. That's bullshit. That's laziness, and that's someone who just didn't give a shit. You couldn't go to Y&R and get the opening for that. I'm pretty sure Y&R would have been fine with that. I call bullshit. Because in one breath, they couldn't get the licensing, and in another breath, they say something else. It's like, y'all talking with two mouths there. That's bullshit. I don't know.
Final thoughts on the 2021 Daytime Emmys, Josh.
I'm glad that it was back on TV. It got about 2.5 million viewers. And I'm not really sure how that compares to what else could have aired or what the broadcasts were before. But, you know, I'm happy to see it back. I would like it hopefully next year when we don't have as many or any maybe COVID restrictions. Hopefully it won't seem so prepackaged and I would like you to join my group and sell this product for me kind of infomercially. So it was good. I liked it. I'm happy that it was back.
Oh, you like it now? You did not.
No. I should just re-say what I just said. That's not what I meant to say. What I meant to say is I liked that it was back. Oh. I liked that it was back, and it feels like that the networks are giving it more weight. In a year that Days of Our Lives gets renewed for 2 years, and the Emmys are back on a network, it felt like a bit of a resurgence for the soaps for daytime. So for that, I liked it. I do hope it becomes less sterile next year.
Jillian, final thought.
So you said you wanted to know how it was with the ratings. It did worse than last year because it dipped. They also competed against the Olympics. So that is that. I mean, listen, they had it on TV, so I was fine with that. You know, it was shorter than how it, like, this is how daytime is now. Like, you know, back in the day, they would have been 3 hours. It's down to 2 now. I just wish they wouldn't do this thing where they try to keep plugging the hottest, the quote unquote hottest person in daytime now. I felt like this was kind of like a little infomercial for Drew Barrymore
and
Jackson. Like you kept pimping them, so to speak. So I guess you thought that their star power would bring in viewers. Then next time, maybe you should have asked, no shade to Cheryl, because it's all about synergy. Hey, Angelica. Even though they have, yeah. I mean, she kept doing the synergy thing, so I ain't mad at her with that. I saw what she was trying to do. If they wanted to do, like, you know, have Kelly Clarkson's quote-unquote star power, Drew Barrymore, you should have had them host. Or something like, you know, if you're going to keep pimping and promoting these people like that, use a brain and try to get them to promote it. If they're not going to do it, then stop trying to keep doing like the tacky fawning that y'all kept doing over them. Cheryl Underwood is a supporter of this industry. You should have had Cheryl like doing stuff all week and shit. Like, well, I saw her on Entertainment Tonight, but still, like, I wasn't really a fan of that.
The other thing about it is if there's anything we've learned from Oprah and Ellen, it's that at some point, them trying to feed the talk show beast, as it were, in terms of like whoever the hot talk show person is, at some point, those talk show hosts seem to think that they're too big for the daytime Emmys and stop showing up. And so is it really worth it to try and be feeding?
I think it's that when they win, they don't show. Like, when you've won, you don't have to show up anymore. Like, you know, I really feel as though the telecast kind of like took a dive, so to speak, in the ceremonies. The moment Susan Lucci won, you know, it was over, because every year, Even people, when daytime started to quote unquote do the decline, people would still tune in to see, is it gonna be lucky number 19 this, or is it gonna be lucky number, is she gonna be lucky this 19, or she gonna get a goose egg again 19? So the moment she won, it was like, we don't have to watch anymore.
On the soap side, it's also a matter of there's only four soaps versus, say, nine. My final thought is, in light of the fact that CBS is going to be airing it again next year, I would ask that they allow Paramount Plus to stream it live for everyone nationwide. The older people who are watching on their TVs at home and are not going to be taking away from your ratings by watching it on Paramount Plus. So,
well, you know, streaming it. They said you take your ass to the East Coast, Luke Kerr. They ain't doing all that.
They could release it at one time. On that note, we'd encourage you to comment on the 48th Annual Daytime Emmy Awards at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. I'm on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Jillian is at Jillian Bow, and Josh is at Dr. Joshua09. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye.